In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you a baseball fan? I used to be. I gave up on baseball because of a justice issue. Baseball is patently unfair. You know that it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. But 4 balls is a walk. The pitcher gets to make 4 mistakes before he's penalized, but the batter only gets to make 3 mistakes. That's not justice. That's not fair. The batters should file a class action lawsuit against the commissioner of baseball and the estate of Abner Doubleday. Many people don't know it, but I could have been a major league all-star pitcher. Oh yeah, there was only one small problem. I can't throw baseball very well. It's not fair that guys with arms like Mel Stottlemyre and Mario Rivera get all of the glory and the fame, and guys like me get none, even though in my heart of hearts, I identify as Cy Young. If baseball was fair, to give me an equal chance of pitching like those other guys, when I pitched, 5 balls would be a walk, 2 strikes would be an out, and the pitcher's mound would only be 40 feet from home plate, not 60 feet 6 inches. Who made the rule that it's 60 feet 6 inches? What are those other 6 inches about? The parable that Jesus told about the laborers in the vineyard has a glaring injustice in it, or so it would seem to us. The situation that Jesus spoke of would have been common to his audience. The master of a house, called in some of the other translations a householder or a landowner, hiring temporary day laborers to work in his vineyard would have been very commonplace at that time. Although the generous way that the landowner treated some of the workers was not common then, probably not common now. Those who worked less got the same compensation as those who worked more, and that strikes us as patently unfair. We think of ourselves as hardworking, fair-minded people, and we are. We believe workers deserve fair wages and that there should be equal pay for equal work. That's justice. What we own, we earned. We can easily identify with the people in the parable who worked hard all day. So when someone gets the full same day's wage for working only 1 hour, when others worked hard all day, it appears as an injustice to us. But there's more to the story. We need to remember that Jesus wasn't addressing actual labor policy in this parable. He wasn't coaching management or employees. Jesus was instructing us about the kingdom of God using an analogy. The way of the church, the way of the kingdom of heaven, the way of faith isn't necessarily the world's way or our personal way. God's concept of justice may be very different than ours. What he knows is fair might not be what we think is fair. But of course, he's right. God knows what we don't. There is a logic and compassion behind what God is teaching us in this parable, which is something that might not be obvious to us, but we can understand it with some thought. It's a fact. Life in this world is not fair. However, this world is not as God intended it to be. The world God created was perfect. Now it is broken by sin. Human sin brought injustice into the world. Unfairness is woven into the very fabric of life because of original sin. God certainly doesn't advocate sin, but he does tolerate it to a point because he gave us free will. God doesn't want us to sin, but he won't override our free will because he wants us to love him and obey him of our own accord. God wants us to be his friends. He doesn't want us to be robots or puppets. There's more to our inborn propensity to sin than this, but I think about our damaged human nature being like a parking lot. Imagine the lines of the parking lot as representing God's rules, his law. Someone parks too close to one of the white lines. So then the next person parks too far away from that line. And the next person parks on the line. And the next person parks over the line. And all of the cars just keep making things worse until there is chaos and no one is even paying any attention to the lines anymore. There's another way that sin has broken our world. We are all dealt different hands. We are all given different skill sets at birth. Some of us hit the genetic lottery. Some of us are born healthy and strong and attractive. Think of how many football and baseball players are juniors or the thirds. Think of the Kardashian and the Jenner family. Some of us hit the power and money lottery at birth. We are born into families with wealth and political status. The Rockefellers, the Kennedys, the Bushes. Then there's the rest of us. Average people born without advantages or legacies. Now imagine you are the landowner hiring workers. Who are you going to hire first? The big, strong, healthy workers, of course. You'd hire people who had worked for you before or people whose families you know. That's just common sense. That's good business. It follows then that each time you go back for more workers, the pool of candidates is not as good as the previous one. And at the end of the day, you're hiring the smallest, weakest, least healthiest people who are all unknown to you. Those workers who are standing around all day, the proverbial bottom of the barrel, the bench warmers, they have to eat too. Maybe they have families to feed as well. An hour at minimum wage is not going to do it for them. And no one else is going to hire them. There is no social safety net to provide for them. Their only hope is that someone will be merciful to them. But there is no guarantee that anybody is going to be charitable. You would not want to be in those unemployed workers' shoes. Sure, there are some people who don't want to work, people who are content to live off the public dole. We need to be careful not to reward scammers and malingerers. It's not fair to those who work for a living, and it only makes those who don't want to help themselves pathologically dependent. But those are not the kind of people who would be standing in the marketplace late in the day still hoping for a job. Have you ever been unemployed or underemployed and found it hard to find a decent job? That's an awful feeling, very depressing. Rightly or wrongly, a lot of our sense of self-worth is tied up with what we do. When we're unemployed or when we retire, our self-esteem can really take a hit. Our true personal value has nothing to do with our job or lack thereof. Being a follower of Christ is the highest possible status. You have intrinsic worth because you are God's child. You are somebody. Don't let anyone put you down. As the parable goes, the landowner has his foreman pay the workers, beginning with the last hired, those who had worked only a few hours, and they get a full day's wage. But then the other workers, those who work the full day, get that same exact wage. The first hired workers grumble. They say, "That's not fair. which begs the question, who decides what's fair? Who makes the rules? Getting back to our baseball analogy, the rules of baseball can be changed by the team owners. The biggest change in my lifetime was the advent of the designated hitter rule, and I agree with Crash Davis that the designated hitter should be banned by an act of Congress. This season, baseball has seen the addition of a pitch clock and overshifts disallowed. Human beings can change the laws that they make. But God does not change, and his law does not change. When I was younger, I used to debate with myself the question, does God do things because they are right, or are things right because God does them? The question comes down to, is there an independent standard of justice, a standard of what's right and wrong in the universe that God adheres to? Or does God decree by divine fiat what is just, what is right and wrong, and binds himself to that decree? The obvious answer is, since God is the creator who creates all things out of nothing, he determines what's right and wrong. He is perfectly free to structure things however he wants. God could have given us a completely different set of Ten Commandments. But once he has made his decision, he sticks to it forever. We aren't going to wake up someday and find that God now approves of murder and lying and loving your neighbor is wrong. And don't believe those who say that they have some further revelation from God contradicting what the Bible clearly teaches. That is just plain wrong. The faith has been delivered once and for all to the saints. Back to our parable. The landowner is fair. He abides by his contract and gives the workers, the first workers, what they agreed upon. That's justice. He's following God's law. To the later hired workers, he is generous. God commands us to be generous too. And the landowner uses his freedom and the resources that he's been blessed with to do something good for someone in need. That's beyond justice and fairness. That's Christ-like. And we should all be Christ-like. So, what do we deserve in this life? What does God owe us? Nothing, of course. Count your blessings, because all that we have comes from God's generosity. And what he chooses to give others is none of our business. We should just be grateful for whatever we have. It's true, life is not fair. But God is good, and he gives us more than we could desire or deserve. And here's proof of that. Jesus, who was perfect, who deserved the best of everything, was robbed of everything he owned and killed on a cross. That strikes us as patently unjust, and it is. Yet God takes the raw deal Jesus suffered and turns his death into our salvation. We get the benefit of Jesus' saving work. That is the biggest bonus in the history of forever. I'm very glad that God doesn't think of fairness the way that I do. So don't grumble. Be grateful. Amen.